Hallelujah. Praise God. It is awesome to know that we can come into God's presence to know and to learn about our eternal, infinite, holy God. One that is not going to change, but He calls us to learn of Him, to know Him, to understand Him, because that's what fellowship and a relationship that He desires to have with us. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, let's enjoy. The scriptures say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a great day to be alive in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, got a few announcements here this morning. For those that do not know it, today is the church picnic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to let you know, we extend an invitation to everyone. Come and have some fun, food, and fellowship. It's a great time that we can get together. As many of the individuals I talk to, we get about 5 minutes of talking here in the church, and then we're going to go see each other till next Sunday. Well, God's given us that opportunity today to fellowship with one another. And you know, Scripture says, it's one of my favorite verses, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are here to sharpen one another to grow in the Lord. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I praise God He gives us these opportunities. So I encourage you, be a part of the fellowship here after the service today. It's down here at the Warrington Township building and the park down here. Come on down. Just enjoy a great time today. Also, this Tuesday, Women's Ministry is holding their meeting at 7 o'clock. I encourage you ladies, get together there and just have a good time also of building one another up. Also, June 8th, this Wednesday, Girls Ministry is having their ice cream party. Praise God. It is a time where the ladies and the girls get together and just share the successes that Jesus has brought to them through the year. And it is a blessing. Yes, Lisa. Oh, okay. Okay. It sounds like they said everyone is invited to that. That comes out on Wednesday evening. So, Pastor, does that mean adult Sunday school too? I mean, adult Bible study going out for the ice cream party? Yeah. See, man, I love a man that walks in the Spirit. Well, praise God. Also, June 12th, next week, we are going to be celebrating and honoring our graduates. What we know of, Jada and Jackie are going to be recognized and honored next week. So it is a privilege for us to be able to be part of that. And I just encourage all to come out and just bless them. Bless them and show them how much we appreciate their hard work and all that they did, because they're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. And we're looking to build them up, because that's the generation that's following a lot of us in here. And we want to encourage them so that they can be a great part to further the kingdom of God. So praise God. And by the way, anybody else that has a graduate that is not mentioned here, see Rhonda. Rhonda will definitely help get you in place. Also, men's ministry, we're going on a bike ride on June 18th. Those that wish to go on a bike ride here, we're going down the Natural Bridges, and it's going to be a time of a fellowship again. So be blessed. Come on out and enjoy that time. Also, we're having VBS. Praise God this year. It's great. We're having it July 25th through the 29th. Once again, we are in need of help. It's a great outreach. We're called to go into all the world and make disciples. And this is a part of doing that in our outreach. Anyone that has questions or God is moving your heart to be a part of it, see Karen Webb. She will be glad to put you where God moves you to be. What'd you say? Yeah, oh, man. God knows how to be able to use his people for his greatest glory. So praise God. Finally, also, we collected an offering on Easter Sunday offering for a water softener, and we are short about $2,000 to get it installed and to get it installed. So we're just asking that those that would like to help get this moved on, this process, to put in your memo at the bottom there that it's donated toward water softeners, so we can put that into the building fund so that we are able to supply the need for that. We like to get it. Oh, yes, we are also, anyone that has, knows about the water fountain downstairs, there, we are getting a new one placed in there. So that actually will help get that taken care of, too. So it's just a blessing. We want to take care of our facility that God has blessed us with, and we're just trying to upgrade some stuff so that we can enjoy this facility to a greater extent. So praise God. With that, it is great to be here, and let's give a hand to our pastor.
Thank you, Harry. We do welcome everyone here today. Pray that God will bless you. This is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thanking you, Lord God, for your touch and your help. Lord Jesus, we pray right now that you would have your way. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your blessing. We praise you for your touch, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, that sweet, sweet Spirit that's in this place. Lord, we love you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit is to the Christian, is set forth in the Bible as air, fire, water, and oil. Each symbol describes some particular work of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to examine these truths today. Number one, the symbol of air. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we read this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Wow. I can never be a living soul apart from this breath of life. I am absolutely dependent upon the moving of the Holy Spirit. Anything apart from that is dead. It's lifeless. Whenever and wherever the scriptures set forth the Holy Spirit as wind, he is set forth as the generator of life. In Job chapter 33 and verse 4, it says this, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Do you know such an experience as that? I hope you do. Or are your claims to a Christian life, is it just a handshake from the preacher? A questionnaire properly filled in and signed, a pledge, or an attendance at maybe some seminar, shuts as we understand, such claims are really void. They're null. As we understand it, we could really say that they're without foundation. There is no spiritual life apart from the Spirit. I want you to remember in Job 33:4, the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Wow. You see, salvation is something more than signing up. It's more than that. Or giving a pledge. Or conforming to maybe a pattern. Salvation is a miracle of divine life imparted by the Holy Spirit. That's why here today we need something more than just a meeting, just a service in our churches. That's why the minister needs, the preacher needs something more than a clever and entertaining program. The Holy Spirit is needed. The Holy Spirit is. Number two, the symbol of fire. In Genesis 3:24, it says this, "So we drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Another version says this, "It is a revolving flame." You see, it corresponds with the sacred Shekinah flame, which was afterwards, and it was located between the cherubim on the mercy seat, which covered the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle that's found in the Old Testament. But here again is the picture of the Holy Spirit. The child of God is engaged in a battle. We know that. The world, the flesh, and the devil battle the believer every single day. But in Isaiah 9:5, Isaiah describes the Christian conflict like this. "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." You see, in that verse, this is what it means, that the Holy Spirit told Judah to take your eyes off of the military power and get your eyes on God. Forget about the military power. Not on man. Don't put your eyes on man, for man does not have the answer, but God does. John the Baptist said that Jesus would touch our lives with fire in Luke 3:16. And for that we say, "Oh, blessed Holy Spirit." His ministry to me is a ministry of burning and fuel of fire. What happens? What takes place? If the fire dies out, I become easy prey for the devil. If the fire goes out, for every sinful appetite that is hurtful to my life, church, never forget there are two kinds of burning. You are either burned for the devil or you burn for God. Simple, right? And at the day of Pentecost, there appeared unto the early church, according to the scripture, cloven tongues like as of fire. Wow. And it sat upon each of them. And the book of Acts, when you look at that, is a record of men and women on fire for God. Read the book of Acts and you'll see. Nothing could extinguish the fire. It was the Shekinah glory of God shining forth through flesh. It was said of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Church, only the Holy Spirit can permeate a life. Only the Holy Spirit. Number three, the symbol of water. The Holy Spirit is set forth in the Bible as, you'll see it in the Bible in terms like dew, rain, shower, river, or bubbling wells. But we could ask the question, and we might as well, because it's on our minds today. Why that type of a picture? Why that picture? The early writers of Methodism set forth a twofold picture of sanctifying power, separating power. One was a negative picture. It was a negative picture. But the other was, of course, a positive picture. The one pictured the destruction of carnal mind, the mind that is in enmity, or other known as hostile, bitter, hatred with God. But the other picture that we get is a picture, a filling, a motivation, a new conception for life, and the spirit for living that is of God and for God. There are, of course, according to the Bible, there are the graces. There are the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll read that in the Word. Life cannot be a vacuum. It can't be. Something must grow and something must develop. Either a liking towards evil will take over, or a thirst and hunger for righteousness is going to take over. If you look at Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 to 4, it says this, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and they shall spring as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. What a great comparison there is in the Bible. It's a great comparison. One man explained it this way. He said, it is the idea of comparing the Spirit of God to water courses flowing through man's soul, upon whose ever moist banks grow the flourishing trees of grace and righteousness. Wow. I'm glad, and I'm sure you are too, that the Christian life is a positive life. It is not a system of don'ts. It is a challenge of dues. It is a personal freedom, sanctified and consecrated towards, as we understand, the eternal values. It is a challenge of, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's a challenge. It is the challenge of, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the challenge. And the Christian way of living is the more abundant way of living and the abundant life. In Ezekiel chapter 36, 25 to 30, Ezekiel gives a very great description here. It says this, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree. Wow. Fourth one, the symbol of oil. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 to 33, we have an account there, if you, you'll read it sometime, an account of the holy anointing oil. Church, if there's anything we need nowadays, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need it in our churches. We need it in our homes. We need it in our schools. We need it in our workplaces. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! There was a special command that no oil should be made like it. The gifts and the illuminations of the Holy Spirit can never be, count on this, church, remember this, write it down, church, the gifts and the illuminations of the Holy Spirit can never be counterfeit. Never. Can't be counterfeited by any art or learning or any natural genius or hypocrisy. God's wrath is kindled against those who dare substitute the flesh for the spirit. Wow. It is said of David, and Samuel took the horn and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Hallelujah. You cannot live, church. You cannot live the Christ life without the work of the Holy Spirit towards you. You can't. It is the Spirit which quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Human effort is no match for sin. It takes the divine. It takes the supernatural. It takes the power of God. And God wants to make that power real in you right now. So what do? We yield to the Spirit, right? Now we had the four symbols. Now we're going to look at number five. It's not a symbol, but it is living in the overflow. Living in the overflow. That's where we want to be. Song goes like this. Healing, it's in Ezekiel. Step into the water. Get out a little bit deeper. You ever hear of that? Oh, good, because I don't remember any more words. But I do remember, step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. You remember Ezekiel? Went out a little bit, got a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. Till he couldn't walk through anymore. Church, that's you and I. We need to get in a little bit deeper. There are scriptural patterns that develop in a truly spirit-filled person. They are considered characteristics or markings. People won't have to tell you they have been filled with the Spirit. You will know it. A person does not have to say, oh, well, I've been filled with the Spirit. You're going to know it. You're going to see the character. You're going to see the marks. A Spirit-filled person would rather learn more about the things of God than sit around and do nothing. An overflowing Christian will love every moment that he or she spends reflecting, studying attentively the sacred pages of God's Word. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, it says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Holy Spirit loves us. and seeks our protection. He knows that knowledge of God's word will serve as a shield against the teachings of the cults and false prophets. He knows that. So let us not be simple-minded. Let us not be naive. Satan has stepped up his attack. He has stepped up his deception in these last days. But God's word is the total revealed mind of God to mankind, to you and I, church. There can be no additions to it. You can't add to the word of God. And you can't subtract from it either. The Bible is the last word. The Christian who is Bible saturated will find Jesus' standards back in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7 working out in their lives. That's the Beatitude, the Sermon on the Mount. It is the single most important document ever given to mankind. And so we study those passages and we study and we study again and again and again. And according to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we are controlled by our minds. You understand that? The scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If we feed our minds only the literature of the world, then worldly reactions are going to result. How do we know that? Some of you work at places where there's probably secular music being played. Have you ever left that place? Have you ever gone out of a store? Have you ever heard a song and then later on that day, that song comes back in your mind? That's why we need to study. As a man thinketh, so is he. If we feed our minds only on the literature of the world, the things of the world, the places of the world, worldly reaction is going to result. But the spirit-filled believer will devour the word, hallelujah, hiding it in his heart. Then his or her mind will control the body with spiritual directives and reactions. Church, if you ever hear somebody say they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they do not love the word of God, don't you believe their testimony at all. If they, I'm spirit-filled, but I don't like the word of God, there's something wrong. Don't believe their testimony. For the Spirit brings about in us a passion for scriptures. That's what the Spirit does. Knowledge of the word will give the believer a proper perspective of this doomed world system. They don't have to sit back and think what's going to happen. They will know the final outcome of the struggle between good and evil according to the word of God. For the last chapter has already been written. Wow. And the spirit-filled believer will be aware of the spiritual battles that rage at the very moment on this planet right now, this day. And they will also be aware of the hand of God in the affairs of mankind. You see, the overflowing believer will also have a passion for the lost. A spirit-filled church will have a passion for the unsaved. The Holy Spirit was poured out so that the believer could be empowered as a witness to the lost. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into your neighborhood and preach the gospel. A ministry of personal evangelism is a must when we read that God is not willing that any should perish. Spiritual patterns begin to emerge when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are made ready to go to work in God's vineyard. Your task has only begun, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, church, is not the final act. It is the beginning one that fits you and I for service. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. You are prepared to take your place on the front line of battle. And the Holy Spirit was not given to you, was not given to me to make us rich or famous. But the Holy Spirit was given to us in abundance to make you ready, to make us ready, to make the church ready, to ready to be expendable, ready to be offered, ready to serve, ready to witness, ready to go the second mile. Ready to radiate the saving life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In closing, when the early believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. They didn't quit. They didn't say, well, this is it. I have finally arrived. They continued. They continued steadfastly. And the Holy Spirit revealed Christ by the way that they lived, by the way they acted, and by the words they spoke. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Is that what happening in your life? Is that happening in your life? Are you sure you have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you sure? He said in his word, in the last days, he's going to pour out his Spirit. I believe that. I believe it. Church, we have not seen anything yet. God is doing it. The devil's mad. The devil's mad that God's going to pour out his Spirit. But in the meantime, we can be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit came to them. They spoke. And I ask you today, that special gift, yearn for it, long for it, pray for it, that God would do a work in your life. He will. He has before. He's not lied to us. He's not forsaken us. He has given. And he has given his Holy Spirit. Shall we stand? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your touch. I thank you for your help, Lord. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has been poured out for us, for the church. Lord, that we would do witness. Lord, that we would let our light shine. That would we speak to others of what you have done and what your word means to us. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we glorify you. Continue to move in hearts and lives. Continue to touch in people's lives, we pray. In Jesus, we will thank you for it. Lord, we want it. We need it. We ask you for it. And Lord God, I thank you and praise you. Lord, we don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. We know that. But we do need it to go to the grocery store. We need it to go to our jobs. We need it to go to our schools and our colleges. We need it to go even to family gatherings. That's what we need. And Lord, I thank you and we praise you for it. And Lord, we will give you the praise in Jesus' holy and matchless name. And in his precious name, all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.